Yesterday morning I was going to a Bible training program in Guildford, and the morning turned out like this one, and I made the comment somewhere along the way that I hoped the day wouldn't distract people and they go off and do something else when they were planning to come to their Bible training. And so it is especially good to see you all here this morning on such a glorious day that we come to return the praise to our God and thanks to Him for all His goodness to us again in this new day and the new week. I greet you in the name of the Lord Jesus, in whose name we are called to worship our God. As usual, just to highlight a couple of notices for you. Most things are printed out. I think they're up to date, correct dates and so forth, but please do remember next Sunday we hope to celebrate the Lord's Supper, Communion. If there is anyone who is not a member of the congregation but is a member of the Church of Christ, putting faith in Christ Jesus, it would be a help if you would speak with us, if you would care to share in the Lord's Supper next Sunday morning. And then to God willing, also to have a lunch afterwards. And we have a visiting preacher from far northwest of Scotland, and hopefully an opportunity to talk to him and get a feel of how things are going in the church up there as well. So please do keep those in mind, keep those in your prayers through the next days of this week. Otherwise, please do make note of what is available to you, and perhaps especially the prayer time before the evening service this evening from about 6:10. It's the word of God Himself itself that calls us. Praise the Lord, O my soul. While I live, I will praise the Lord. I will sing praises to my God while I have my being. Happy is he who has the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God, who made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them, who keeps truth forever. Let us now turn our praise to him. We sing together first in Psalm 96, version A on page 100, beginning on page 126. Psalm 96, and we'll sing the verses marked 1 through to 10, so that's 6 stanzas together. I will sing a new song, a song of God's work of salvation. I will sing a new song to the Lord, sing praises to his name, and his salvation day by day let all the earth proclaim. His glory and his mighty deeds to every land declare. How great and awesome is the Lord, with him no gods compare. We sing of the other gods, but we then come to tell every land, the Lord is king. Established is the earth and cannot move. The Lord will judge the peoples in his truth. We'll sing Psalm 96, 1 to 10. Let's stand to sing, and we'll stay standing after that to pray together.
Sing a new song to the Lord, sing praises to his name, and his salvation be by him, let all the earth proclaim. His glory and his mighty deeds to every land declare.
God and praise him.
let us pray together. We would indeed, O Lord, sing that song in answer to an accomplished work of salvation that is beyond every imagining or asking of man. No God of our imagination or construction would ever be able to deliver us from our sins and from the bondage of that sin, from the consequence of that sin, from death and pain and suffering. And even though these things are yet to be completed, we rejoice, O Lord, that you have made that promise from the earliest of days to fulfill your eternal purpose, that you would deliver a people and gather together a people for your own name's sake, that you would send the great deliverer, the one who would bear our stripes, our suffering, who would indeed go unto death under curse, your own beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. We answer, O Lord, by such words that you offer to us and that you call us to use, that you are indeed worthy of praise, since you have done a mighty work and revealed yourself to be without fault, to be great and mighty and sovereign. We pray today, O Lord, that we might know a refreshing of understanding and of spirit, that you will set yourself before us anew, that in the turmoils of our daily lives, we will see that there is one. It's not only the earth that is established, but the Lord who upholds this earth, who upholds all things, is without change, and who keeps truth forever. We thank you, O Lord, that you have demonstrated that in the giving of your Son, even unto death. We praise you for him. We give thanks in word for him. We ask that as we come in worship today, it will be invigorating that we might thank you indeed in life as we go on from here. But as he has given himself for us, how can we live any longer for ourselves? O Lord, do keep us from temptation, now and in days to come. Deliver us from evil. We pray that you will deliver us from foolishness. Speak to us, we pray, concerning these things. In every part that we come in our worship, that we bow humbly, ready to hear what you would have for your church. We pray for those who cannot be here with us. We thank you for each other present here. We pray that you will grant rich blessing in every need that we bring before you. And for those who cannot come for their various needs, we commend them also for your near presence, and that they would know the enriching of your Spirit upon them, that they will indeed seek out your Spirit and your Word, your truth. They will long to be found with your people as you would enable them in due time. We pray for those of the number of your people in other parts of the world who do not have the same freedoms we do, who do not have the same prosperity that we do. You call us in this your song to bring an offering before you, to worship before you. We make our offerings as we enter, and even in this modern age with other administration, that we can contribute to the work of your gospel and your church. We commend these to you, Lord, and pray that you would prosper, that these things will not just be a form, but out of a true thanksgiving of heart in answer to what you have done in our lives. We pray for those who are burdened by the hatred of men around them, as they would hold fast to the name of Christ today, that they will know that that you are indeed the Mighty One, the One who is enduring, that they will not relent and that they will not turn aside, but will be held fast and upheld by your Spirit. So hear us, O Lord, as we would seek the prospering of your name upon this earth, that there will be many who will hear afresh today, some for the first time perhaps, but it will be a name that calls and draws. Men will know that they can be found in the presence of the One who is worthy of all trust, worthy of all service. We ask that you would receive us now. Do pardon sin, we pray. Cleanse us and renew us, as we would seek all things only in the name of the Lord Jesus and for the sake of your glory. Amen. We turn now to read and to hear the law of God as summarized in what we know as the Ten Commandments, as God gave it to Israel, the summary of his moral law for man. If you do wish to follow, Exodus chapter 20. And God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself a carved image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them nor serve them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children to the third and fourth generations of those who hate me, but showing mercy to thousands, to those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work, you, nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, nor his male servant, nor his female servant, nor his ox, nor his donkey, nor anything that is your neighbor's. Let us hear God's word as he speaks to us also. We'll also continue in his word. We'll turn to the last chapter in Exodus. We've been reading here, and we come now to chapter 40. Let's read here now. Exodus chapter 40. Previous chapter tells us how the work building the tabernacle, its component parts, how this had been completed. Chapter 40 of Exodus. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, On the first day of the first month you shall set up the tabernacle of the tent of meeting. You shall put in it the ark of the testimony and partition off the ark with the veil. You shall bring in the table and arrange the things that are to be set in order on it. And you shall bring in the lampstand and light its lamps. You shall also set the altar of gold for the incense before the ark of the testimony, and put up the screen for the door of the tabernacle. Then you shall set the altar of the burnt offering before the door of the tabernacle of the tent of meeting, and you shall set the laver between the tabernacle of meeting and the altar, and put water in it. You shall set up the court all around, and hang up the screen at the court gate. And you shall take the anointing oil and anoint the tabernacle and all that is in it, and you shall hallow it and all its utensils, and it shall be holy. You shall anoint the altar of the burnt offering and all its utensils, and consecrate the altar. The altar shall be most holy. And you shall anoint the laver and its base, and consecrate it. Then you shall bring Aaron and his sons to the door of the tabernacle of meeting, and wash them with water. You shall put the holy garments on Aaron, and anoint him, and consecrate him, that he may minister to me as priest. And you shall bring his sons, and clothe them with tunics. You shall anoint them as you anointed their father, that they may minister to me as priests. For their anointing shall surely be an everlasting priesthood throughout their generations. Thus Moses did, according to all that the Lord had commanded him, so he did. And it came to pass, in the first month of the second year, on the first day of the month, that the tabernacle was raised up. So Moses raised up the tabernacle, fastened its sockets, set up its boards, put in its bars, and raised up its pillars. And he spread out the tent over the tabernacle, and put the covering of the tent on top of it, as the Lord had commanded Moses. He took the testimony, and put it into the ark, inserted the poles through the rings of the ark, and put the mercy seat on the top of the ark. And he brought the ark into the tabernacle, hung up the veil of the covering, and partitioned off the ark of the testimony, as the Lord had commanded Moses. He put the table in the tabernacle of meeting on the north side of the tabernacle, outside the veil, and he set the bread in order upon it before the Lord, as the Lord had commanded Moses. He put the lampstand in the tabernacle of meeting, across from the table, on the south side of the tabernacle. And he lit the lamps before the Lord, as the Lord had commanded Moses. He put the gold altar in the tabernacle of meeting in front of the veil, and he burned sweet incense on it, as the Lord had commanded Moses. He hung up the screen at the door of the tabernacle, and he put the altar of burnt offering before the door of the tabernacle of the tent of meeting, and offered upon it the burnt offering and the grain offering, as the Lord had commanded Moses. He set the laver between the tabernacle of meeting and the altar, and put water there for washing. And Moses, Aaron, and his sons would wash their hands and their feet with water from it. Whenever they went into the tabernacle of meeting, and when they came near the altar, they washed, as the Lord had commanded Moses. And he raised up the court all around the tabernacle and the altar, and hung up the screen of the court gate. So Moses finished the work. Then the cloud covered the tabernacle of meeting, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And Moses was not able to enter the tabernacle of meeting, because the cloud rested above it, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Whenever the cloud was taken up from above the tabernacle, the children of Israel would go onward in all their journeys. But if the cloud was not taken up, then they did not journey till the day that it was taken up. For the cloud of the Lord was above the tabernacle by day, and fire was over it by night, in the sight of all the house of Israel, throughout all their journeys. So far in God's word. Here ends the book we know as Exodus. The tabernacle was finished as commanded, and so the Lord could bless it and fill it with his glory. Later on, at the beginning of Numbers, we read how it was situated, planned in the center of the camp. There were equal numbers of the peoples all around, so that this was to be God in the center of his people. The key element in the making of this nation under God. And if I may, those last few verses of the cloud, when it stayed, the people stayed. When it moved, the people moved. Very simple but crucial step in seeking God's guidance, even in our lives. What does God will? May he bless his word to us, and we respond by turning to sing of that great psalm dealing with God's word. The first section of Psalm 119, you'll find it on page 157. Psalm 119, verses 1 to 8, section 1, page 157. Blessed are those of blameless ways who live according to God's word. Blessed are those who keep his laws, who with their whole heart seek the Lord. Let's stand again to sing together verses 1 to 8.
Blessed are those of blameless ways who live according to God's word. Blessed are those who keep his laws, who with their whole heart seek the Lord. They keep his steps from doing
moments, especially with the children, if I may. I have two things here. Do you think they look quite like each other? Are they quite alike? Slightly different colours if you put them together, slightly different size, but they're sort of tubes of something. Yeah? Does anyone know what they are? You know what it is, George? Know what that one is? No. Does anyone know what they are? How do you think you might be able to tell what they are? What do animals do when they try to find out what something is? They try and eat it, don't they? Do you want to try and eat one of these? I've had my fingers on them, but they're clean fingers. Want to try? I'll give you a clue. I would eat that one, but not that one. Very like each other. You know, in English, there's a saying about something being as different as chalk and cheese. Does anyone know which is chalk and which is cheese? I gave you a clue a minute ago. I said I would eat this one. So this is chalk, isn't it? Yeah? No? Don't think so. They look very much like each other. And if you were to go out down to, say, the Sussex coast, you know there are the white cliffs, that's chalk. Now, if you were to take a chunk of that, then you would go over to the West Country, Somerset or somewhere, and you were to say, could I have a piece of cheese, perhaps? You might get something that looks almost the same, some white, chunky, lumpy cheese. They look almost the same, very like each other. But they're not the same, are they? What really matters, would you like to try writing on a blackboard with this one? Would that be a good idea? It would be a mess, wouldn't it? Would you like to eat this one? Put this in a sandwich? With a sausage or something? Have a hot dog with some cheese? That's chalk. You wouldn't do that, would you? Why am I talking about this? It's because you look just the same, really, as people all around you. They look like you. But I hope that there's something in your heart that makes you as different as chalk is from cheese. They are very, very different, aren't they? The real thing, what they're most all about, are very different. You would not eat this. You wouldn't use this to draw on a blackboard or whatever else you might think of chalk for. That's not what they're for. In the Bible, I said last week about Jesus, the Bible says you can look on the outside, you can look like this. The Bible tells us about David, doesn't it? How many brothers did David have? What's the number we remember in that story about David when he was going to be made king? 1 Samuel saw all his brothers. Do you know how many there were? And all of those brothers, there were seven of them, and all of those brothers, Samuel said, he's a fine-looking man. He should be a king. And when David was chosen, it wasn't that he looked an ugly young boy or that anything like that. He was a fine-looking man as well. But it tells us that God saw what was in his heart. He saw that he was different from his seven brothers. On the outside, they all looked the same. They were good-looking men. We can look the same as a lot of people, but inside, are we different? And that is going to make a difference about how your life goes. That when I want something to eat, this one is not going to stay. That goes away. I'll use this. And the other way around. It matters in your life. Your body looks the same as other people. But where's your heart and what happens because of that? Let there be a difference. It's a saying that's all around, and you might hear people say it now. Oh, it's like chalk and cheese. They look the same. Really different, though. That's what Proverbs is all about, or a lot of it is about. It makes a lot of the differences between people. And we're going to be looking at some parts of Proverbs, I hope, over a few weeks. And so let's begin by turning to chapter 1. Proverbs chapter 1. Read part of the chapter. Proverbs chapter 1. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. To know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of men of wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity, to give prudence to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and increase learning, and a man of understanding will attain wise counsel, to understand a proverb and an enigma, the words of the wise and their riddles. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. My son, hear the instruction of your father, and do not forsake the law of your mother. For they will be a graceful ornament on your head and chains about your neck. My son, if sinners entice you, do not consent. If they say, come with us, let us lie in wait to shed blood. Let us lurk secretly for the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them alive like Sheol, and whole like those who go down to the pit. We shall find all kinds of precious possessions. We shall fill our houses with spoil. Cast in your lot among us. Let us all have one purse. My son, do not walk in the way with them. Keep your foot from their path, for their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed blood. Surely in vain the net is spread in the sight of any bird, but they lie in wait for their own blood. They lurk secretly for their own lives. So are the ways of everyone who is greedy for gain. It takes away the life of its owners. For this morning we will read just so far and again seek God's blessing that he will indeed speak with us and we will hear. Let us turn to sing once more. We'll sing in Psalm 130, the traditional version, beginning on page 421. Psalm 130. Lord, from the depths to thee I cried. My voice, Lord, do thou hear. Unto my supplication's voice give an attentive ear. Lord, who shall stand if thou, O Lord, shouldst mark iniquity? But yet with thee forgiveness is, that feared thou mayest be. And we'll sing through the whole psalm. Psalm 130, let's stand again to sing.
Lord, from the depths to thee I cry, my voice, Lord, do thou hear.
Turn again to prayer. Let us pray. We would return thanks, O Lord, for this great assurance of your great redemption. And not only do you pardon those sins that we have done, but at the great cost and price of the precious blood of our Lord Jesus, you've paid that price that delivers us, that lifts us out of such a life. We pray that that will be our own earnest desire, to know the blessings of being delivered, belonging to a different ruler, no longer under the rule of the prince of this age, or that bondage of sin, but to know new life, life abundant, through faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. We ask, Lord, that we might have that wisdom, that that will be our earnest longing to know and to grow in that knowledge, to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to know that, yes, if he is not risen, we are in this life of all men most miserable. But he is risen, and surely, O Lord, we are of all men most honored with such great privilege. Help us, O Lord, more and more to recognize that, to live accordingly. We ask for the call of your word to be clear to us each today. We thank you, O God, for the testimony that many of us have been able to bear. But we pray that we will live this out, that this will be our great longing, our desire, and that you would be pleased to grant such desire. Be at work in us, we pray. We acknowledge we must have your Spirit if we are to live for you. Even in the greatest of resolution, we are incapable except by your work within us. We commend our different ways to you, O God, and pray that above all they would be bound together with each other, but above all with Christ. We pray, Lord, that you would speak by your word throughout this world. We have not time to mention, even in all of our lives, to mention every person, every gathering throughout this world. And what an honor it is to you, O God. It is to your praise. We pray that you would be mindful of each who names the name of Christ today, and each gathering where his name is spoken. And may your word speak to men and show us your ways. For this town, for the great city of London nearby, for our friends in various churches in these places, we commend them. We pray for the church we are joined to in Scotland particularly. We ask for a blessing on the Leith congregation as they enter into a new period of ministry with Gavino Fioretti and his family. We ask, Lord, that you would grant special blessing on him as he begins his ministry today. May the congregation be encouraged, but that courage to enter into the world in which you have placed them, to minister this gospel of hope and redemption in Christ. And so too, in the different parts of the church there, we commend the various needs of your people, those especially who are going out to fill and teach in your word today, elders and other men. We commend them to you, Lord, especially for your upholding and your guiding and that word of your Spirit to your people through them. The different parts of the church that we have other connections with around the world, we praise you for that too, Lord, and ask that you would grant your upholding and guiding, that there will be a surging forward of your people into new fields and into a new and vigorous work for the name of Christ. We pray, O Lord, for some in particular. We would once more remember Pastor Jay from Kurdistan, and as he would seek to know how you would lead him in days to come, we pray for his health and well-being and for his family. We pray too, rejoicing for your care over our dear friend Adam, who has been in Central Asia, and his safe return home early this week. We ask, Lord, that you would grant your continued blessing on him, also as he plans and has prospects of what is the next step, that you would guide him, that he would be under that leading of your Spirit. We pray too for practical needs, but even in these, how you would be working in the soul of man. We would once more remember Jan. We ask, Lord, for your blessing on her as she needs some special attention these few days for illness. We ask that you would grant her recovery in a measure, and we do pray for the larger difficulty of cancer, and ask that you would grant healing for that, and especially for those who attend to her, that they might have wisdom and capability and skill to minister to her. I commend the rest of her family to you as well, and as in a way we are also her family, we pray that we would be faithful to uphold her and those others around her as well. We commend Sheena Griffin to you after a further operation and all that might flow from that. We ask that you would provide for her as well and for her family. We commend Shirley O'Neill to you as well. And as Rebecca is with her mother just now, we pray that they might know your grace upon them, in particularly for healing of the body. And we ask that Shirley might again make a good recovery from her operation. We pray too, Lord, for our various other loved ones in our families and those that you place especially on our hearts and amongst our friends. We ask that they might also seek you out and that they will find you. Many who are in our lives by your ordaining still turn aside from Christ, and we commend them to you, Lord, that they might be drawn near and know that it is in him that wisdom is to be found. Hear us, O Lord, as we would seek your mercies. Pray that you would dwell richly amongst us by your Spirit today. And may we be especially conscious of the great work that you have done and your giving of yourself to us. We pray that we would be receptive and know that this is a great call upon our lives, that we would not reject you, but walk in your ways. To your glory we pray, and to the honor of Christ, and all for his sake. In his name we pray. Amen. At the opening of the book of Proverbs, there is a statement of purpose, and then we come to what I would take as our text this morning, verse 7, Proverbs chapter 1 at verse 7. An introduction to the two ways that men live. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Even looking at this, thinking on the different ways that the Bible, Proverbs particularly, presents, the different ways men live, I was writing out the word for the number 2. How do we spell it? The word for the number 2, we say 2, we spell T-W-O. And as things are in our day, it's really rather a strange way of writing that sound, that expression. But who would do it any other way? And when you're teaching children to, as they grow up, how to write down the names of the numbers, That's the way you teach them. It's not T-O, it's not T-O-O, it's T-W-O. That's the way to make yourself understood if you're writing out the name of this number. That's as it is. Now, it would be daft, or it would be because you have great difficulties in learning. Otherwise, it would be daft. It would be crazy if you didn't care how you spelt it, if you're trying to get the message across to people. This is the number two. You don't spell it the other ways, or people will get confused. When things are the way they are, it's foolish not to care how things are. It's foolish not to learn how things are. It's foolish not to live accordingly. That's the reality that we live with. We sang at the beginning of telling the nations that the Lord is King. Other Psalms and other passages tell us that the world does not want God as their King. But the Psalm tells us, tell the world the Lord is their King. There is one true and living God. Many will say, oh, I don't like this God, I don't want him for my God, but it is unavoidable. The reality is, there is one God. Take, for example, in our own day, there are a lot of people in this country who don't want David Cameron as Prime Minister, but the fact is, he is our Prime Minister. Whether you believe in what he says and does, the fact is, he's Prime Minister. That's the way things are. It's that makes it so foolish. That is the word, foolish. The way that so many choose to live the life that they have, that we have, that you have, the life you have so far. I spoke last week of the way that Jesus is the most divisive person in history, by his own intention. In the entire sweep of human history, every single human soul will have to make their choice regarding him. And there are only two choices. Honor him as King, Lord, come to him as Savior, or not. And it's this that Proverbs, the book of Proverbs, is especially concerned about. It's not all talked about in the two ways, but almost half of it is. 31 chapters, almost half of it is set out in contrast, the two ways of life on earth. And it's summarized here in this introduction. There's the foolish way, the second part of verse 7, and there's the knowing way in the first part. And it's the foolish way I would talk about first this morning. The choice or the approach of the fool or the fools. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. This is the introduction. The rest of the book expands on this at great length. But what do we learn even here? Just the words. Let's look at the words for a moment. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. So what are we talking about? What is it that makes a fool? Essentially, this verse is telling us that you become a fool by despising wisdom and instruction. That's what makes you a fool. Yes, in a way you do despise wisdom and instruction because you are a fool. But it's this that qualifies you to be named a fool, when you despise wisdom and instruction. Wisdom, in perhaps general terms, is to have insight and ability to live your life well. This is in the Bible. It's saying not simply that, but to live your life well before God, with God as King, under God's rule. He is the maker of the life that you have. Will you live it as he intended. That is biblical wisdom. By way of summary, we learn more as we continue through this book, especially. Wisdom, and we have instruction, or some versions use the word discipline. Instruction perhaps reminds us that these things don't come naturally to man who is wrapped up in sin and in himself. We need to be taught. We need instruction. Not only to be taught, but also to learn, to absorb that instruction, to receive it. Or if it is discipline, it is in that range of words. It's very similar. But discipline also includes a sense of recognizing submission, an order to life, and follow that pattern. I spoke earlier of the word for the number two. And early in life, probably each one of us, if we did try to write it, we probably did write it in some other way than T-W-O, and we thought we had it right. For us, I've suggested already, for those who have learnt these things, it would be a foolish thing to do. But let's remember, it is a childish thing to do too. It is something you would do as a child. But children learn. Children gather. It's something you probably don't think twice about anymore, because you have drawn it in and learnt to live accordingly. You have assimilated. It's become part of you. Remember what Paul said, and notice it's in that chapter we know as the chapter of love. 1 Corinthians 13, he says, "When I became a man, I put away childish things." Who would ever call black white? There perhaps are answers to that, but would you? Why would anyone insist that the earth is flat? In our culture, everyone knows they're not. Everyone knows that the earth is not flat. Everyone knows that black is not white. Isn't that what people think? White is white. Let black stay black. Let cheese be cheese and chalk chalk. That's what they are. Are we able to just go and defy all of these realities? Because that's what I think. The Bible tells us God is king of all the earth. But many will reject that. And so you see, if you talk about colors, you talk about cheese, you talk about the earth, these are simple life skills, and it's understood that you take the truth of the matter and you live by it. You live accordingly. You factor it into the way that you go about your life. But there are some things that some men refuse to accept. And where they are, where it is knowledge, and you refuse to accept it, it is to despise it, and to despise the teacher. It's you setting yourself up as the one who determines what truth is. Perhaps very contrary to the reality. And so it is with God. Some would turn around and say, well, the Bible would say that, wouldn't it? And when you preach the Bible, you would say that, wouldn't you? That God is true. The Bible is true about God, about the Lord. Well, bear with it a bit, because Proverbs, as we, I trust, are able to go on through it, give it a hearing. It deals with that from, you might say, even a worldly point of view. It handles and deals with those challenges. Look at what it has to say about daily realities, as we call them. The things that do take up so much of your attention. You say, this is what I have to deal with. This is what's real. What I can touch and feel and hear. Proverbs talks about those things. And with a view to talking about those things, it still comes and says, it's the fear of the Lord that's the beginning of knowledge. God is true. Do you receive him? The fool's choice is to despise this wisdom and this, and instruction. The fool's choice at this point is to say, why bother? I'm not interested. And don't be fooled by yourself. Don't be thrown off the scent by any added with due respect, because there is no respect. It is despising that wisdom. To reject it is to despise it. There is no respect. Every refusal to deal with God as God, however politely phrased it might be, is to despise them. The contrast is the way of knowledge. In Proverbs chapter 9 and verse 10, you have a very similar statement, but it begins, or it appears, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of, and the word wisdom. In this place, though, it is knowledge. The introduction to Proverbs speaks about knowledge, where there is a difference. And perhaps even taking it logically, it's a logical impossibility to say you know something that isn't true. How can you know something if it is not true, if it is not real? You can be very certain in your own mind, but it doesn't compare with what is true, what is real. And so the Bible tells us here that there is a way to establish what is true knowledge, knowledge according to truth. Perhaps one of the greatest difficulties in teaching anyone anything, and some of you have done teaching in one form or another, but I tell you, when you come to the Bible, it's one of the most difficult things to try and teach anybody. Because the natural man will insist on holding his own opinion. My view is not only valid, but it decides how I approach the Bible. It's so widespread. It's a very proud woman, or man, or child, who will not be taught because they say, I know. Instead, Proverbs 1 verse 7, and what is built on this, tells us it's the fear of the Lord that's the beginning of knowledge. Start there. And the beginning in the sense of the source. It's the place where knowledge flows from. So it's not just you start by this and then you can, as it were, leave that just somewhere fading in the background in the rear view mirror, and you're building your knowledge because of it. No, it's the continuing source out of which all knowledge must come. The fear of the Lord. We sang in Psalm 130 that it is because the Lord forgives that we fear the Lord. But the fear of the Lord, very simply, spells humility. It says, I'm ready to listen. I will pay attention. Do you remember the time when Jesus was visiting Mary and Martha? And Martha was very busy around the house, and Mary sat very unhelpfully at Jesus' feet, and she listened. And Jesus said, she's doing the one thing that she needs. In fact, the one thing anyone needs. Listening. Hearing his word is the one thing necessary. And he goes on, this will not be taken away from her. It was the lesson Job learnt. I think there is just the one key lesson. It's expressed in various ways, but he came to this place where he acknowledged that it is the Lord who is all-knowing, not me. I might not be able to understand everything that I encounter in life, but I know the Lord does, and it's his purpose. And that suffering that we often focus on in the book of Job this was his beginning in understanding that suffering. And that is the objective of Proverbs. Those preceding verses 2 through to 6 are telling us this is what I'm aiming for. The Proverbs are so that, that's what it means, to know wisdom and instruction, in order to know. But verse 7 reminds us that we, when we look at something in life, which direction are you coming from? I think I've said it before. We often have to give people directions to come here or to visit the house. Perhaps you do as well. And one of the essential first, if not the first essential question you have to ask is, where are you coming from? I give you directions from the other side and you'll be completely lost. Proverbs 7 is telling us, you come to learn and to know and to seek wisdom, come from the right direction. The way that has been found to be true and wise by the writer of the Proverbs, and who has put these things to the test. And he tells us, know that the fear of the Lord is the beginning, the source, the fountain of knowledge. To know things as they are. Jesus said, know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Not to let these things be confused with so much else, or, far worse, to despise them. The truth must begin here, with the fear of the Lord. That is to humble yourself before Him. It is to put Him first. It is to give Him the honor with devotion, with service. Not just with words. To remember that there is a great deal of life that is and probably will remain unknown to you, hidden. That's what we are reminded of in verses 5 and 6. A wise man will hear and increase learning, and a man of understanding will attain counsel too. In order to understand a proverb and an enigma, the words of the wise and their riddles, the things that are difficult to understand. Build them from the direction of truth and the fear of the Lord. There is a great deal that will be obscure, will be difficult to understand. We learn here that there's a great deal more than that that will always remain obscure to the person who sticks to his own way rather than the fear of the Lord. What happens with somebody who says, no, I can do it, or this is the way I'm going to do it, and somebody who's far more experienced is perfectly ready to teach them? They won't listen. What do you expect? Life is a mess. All the more so. To genuinely listen to the Lord first, to learn from Him. Learn from me, Jesus Himself said. I am meek and lowly of heart. The world around us is all too enthusiastic to teach its ways, but also all too often it will take you so far, and that's what we read in the following verses, it will take you so far and drop you. It has nothing enduring to offer. Very enthusiastic to say, well, come this way. They're much easier to pick up because that's where we start from. But in response to that, be as deeply troubled by any hint that you yourself might neglect, that is, to despise the opportunity that God gives you through His Word. And here, consider your options. Do some thinking. Recognize where these two paths are heading. And one of them is foolish. If you choose not to truly consider way, as Proverbs does, that in itself is, by definition, foolish. towards the end of last week, I pointed that there are two ways in this life. Some would say two ways to live. It's not really living. There are two ways that men live, that people live. Proverbs lays out its stall here. It gives a new offering. Man on his own will only ever go one way, despising wisdom and understanding and instruction. But here is another that's offered by God himself. And this is what the book intends. This is what it's aiming for. It's laying it out to you and saying, take this path so that you will know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity. You talk to people in the world and say, what do you want most? And they will say, justice and equity. This is the way. Why do people keep saying that? Because they haven't found it yet. Because they don't come here to this Word of God. To give prudence to the simple that goes out and in all their naivety, they can find wisdom and prudence to be kept in this life. And to the young man, knowledge, and to the young man, discretion. It's not what young men do well, but you can if you follow the pattern of the Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. It is, therefore, a wise man who will hear and increase learning. It is a man of understanding who will attain, gain wise counsel, and be able to understand so much more. What is otherwise an enigma, a riddle, a thing that you cannot fathom. But you can. If you come in the fear of the Lord, knowledge springs forth with great riches. Let no one be a fool, despising wisdom and instruction. You say, I don't despise it. You refuse it, you despise it. Let's not go there. This is just a beginning. And I trust God will allow us to draw together around the expansion of this in other parts of this wonderful book of Proverbs. May he grant blessing on his word in our gathering together this morning. Let us pray together. And most of all, O Lord, we give thanks for your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, who was crucified. Christ, the power of God, the wisdom of God. Lord, what is man that you are mindful of him? Why, when we have sinned against you, when we have so many inclinations to go in our own ways or the ways of others, why should you be so merciful to open the way, even to your own wisdom? For your, as it were, foolishness, should there be such a thing, far excels the wisdom of men. We pray, Lord God, that we would be stunned, astounded, that you should grant us such privilege. Forgive us, O God, that all too often, it's not that we take it for granted, but we leave it behind. We go our own ways. Oh Lord, do draw us to yourself, we pray. May we look upon Christ once more, wonder at him, and know that at such great cost we must indeed follow him and draw near, be found in him before you. We pray, O God, that in the steps of our ways as we go on from here this morning and through the rest of the day, you will grant your keeping, that your word will be effective, not silenced, but ring in our ears, in our hearts, in our minds, and that we will give right consideration, true thought, and find that wisdom and knowledge. Keep us, O Lord, from foolishness. And above all, O God, as we do pray concerning our own great need, we pray that this will be to your glory. Again, commending to you the various needs that we do have in our daily lives, but that we might, in these and through them, seek after you and find you. According to your promise, even through your own Son, affirm to us in him, in whose name we pray, again seeking that pardon of sin, that we might be heard. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us turn together in our closing praise to Psalm 37, as you find it on page 254. Singing the verses 23 to 30, Psalm 37, starting at verse 23 through to verse 30, six stanzas together. A good man's footsteps by the Lord are ordered aright, and in the way wherein he walks he greatly doth delight. Although he fall, yet shall he not be cast down utterly, because the Lord with his own hand upholds him mightily. And so on, as this psalm too reflects that wisdom of seeking the Lord and following his paths. Verse 23 to 30. Let's stand again to sing together.
His blessing. The
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.